proclaim to you this morning then the gospel as found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I'll start reading at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So far. After the sermon, we will sing Psalm 68, the stanzas 8 and 12. Dear brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ, when the clocks strike 12 tonight, the year 2023 will be a thing of the past. Another 12 months, 52 weeks in the books. And right now, our memories of 2023 are fresh on our minds, but soon the events of the year will fade and they'll blend with what has happened in previous years. Now, if we take the time to reflect on what took place, different things will stand out for each of us. Some of the moments of 2023 were precious, exciting, filled with wonderment. And others were painful, filled with grief and tears. We faced our own sins and weaknesses and the need to get on our knees to pray for mercy. Every home and every pew in this church knows its own troubles, trials, and heartaches. We didn't always come to church feeling perky, did we? We felt the heartache of loneliness and emotional discomfort. Some of us felt the waves of depression washing over us, threatening to erode the confidence we should have in God's promises, maybe even keeping us from coming to church. And throughout the days of 2023, we worried and we fretted about a wide variety of things. And maybe we were not sure where God was leading next. Perhaps your hopes and dreams for 2024 are about as dull and gray as the weather has been lately. So where do we go from here? Do we end 2023 and enter into 2024 sullen, cynical, and sad? Do we have a right to do so? Do we need to bury ourselves in our own comfortable environment, be that our bedroom, our family home, our workplace, or the company of our buddies at work or in the sports arena? Because beyond that, who cares? What is the Christian perspective on these things? Well, brothers and sisters, on this last day of 2023, the Lord Jesus gives us marching orders, his marching orders for the future. And it is clear that life is not about us. Christ has put us on assignment. And he does not want any of us moping around or complaining about how bad things are in our personal lives or in this world. But he wants us to get busy. He says to us as church, go. You have a task to do. Go and make disciples, and don't think you are done when a person comes to church. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, let that be your way of life and your focus. And before you say, I don't think I'm up to it, because talking about these things doesn't come easy to me, keep in mind that most often such words are really a cop-out, because we do not go on our own. The Lord Jesus is the one who strengthens you and is with you to the close of the age. That's his promise. So as we stand at the threshold of 2024, let us listen to the words of Christ's great commission. And I summarize our text as follows, the final words of Christ to his church living in the last days. And he bids us to first recognize his authority, second, listen to his instructions, and third, be assured of his protection. So the final words of Christ to his church living in the last days. And the first thing that we look at then is how he bids us to recognize his authority. And it is an authority that is not limited, but universal in character. Now, Jesus' authority has been emphasized often in the gospel account of Matthew. He speaks with authority. He has the authority to command. He has authority over demons. He has authority to forgive sins, to judge. The authority to perform his deeds come from God. These are all the things that are talked about in this gospel. And the assertion that Christ makes that all authority has been given to him provides the foundation for the ecclesiastical command to go and instruct, baptize, and teach the nations to observe the things he taught his disciples. Christ's public ministry in the gospel account of Matthew began with Jesus preaching on a mountainside. A sermon that included the Beatitudes. A sermon that included the call to have a righteousness that exceeded that of the Pharisees. And now it ends with Jesus on a mountain. Now calling his apostles to take that message that he gave to his disciples and apostles, to take that beyond the Jewish population and into the nations. The Lord Jesus, as the exalted and risen Christ, has every reason to commission his disciples to fulfill that calling that he will give them. For notice the wording. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Well, it is certainly encouraging to know all authority is given to Christ, isn't it? During the decades and centuries that have passed since Christ proclaimed the words of our text, there have been many individuals who have tried to take control of the world. And people have stood in fear of the power of emperors and popes and dictators. But there has never been a person powerful enough to take control of earth and heaven. The only one who has received such power and authority is Christ, your Lord and your Savior. And note how Christ says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has received that right to rule. And what he decides will stand because it is backed by the Father who has given the authority to Jesus. So before he commissions his disciples to do anything, Christ wants them to recognize that he has been given authority by his heavenly Father. He is given power and authority based on and as a reward for his suffering. Jesus is given all authority in heaven and on earth. And he receives all authority for two reasons. First, so that he might gather, defend, and preserve his church to the close of the age. And secondly, that he might bring all enemies under his feet and in subjection to him. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 and 26, for he must reign until all his enemies are under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So as Jesus Christ prepares to go to heaven, he leaves his church at the center of a tremendous and fearsome battle against the enemy from the side of an unfaithful church and of a pagan world. And in this battle of the people of God, they will not be struggling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And opposition was close at hand for the apostles of Christ right there when they were on that mountain. For the apostate leaders in Israel had already shown their hostility by crucifying the Lord Jesus and by covering up the news of his resurrection with a lie. And they continue showing their hostility and their enmity by persecuting the followers of Jesus, putting them in prison and killing them. In fact, the history of the church to the present tells one story. The church is constantly under attack, opposed and distressed through persecution, ridicule, heresies, suffering, and death. But all authority has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth. And those who recognize the authority of Christ should not get bent out of shape or frightened by what they experience. Yes, it is understandable to be freaked into thinking the world is a terrible and scary place to live, and it has never been worse. And if you want to get yourself frightened, there is plenty of stuff all around you and on the internet to help you. But have you forgotten him who said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth? He does not leave us to fight our own battles. It is he who placed us on this earth at exactly this moment in history, and he says, you, like every person before you, are under my rule and my authority. I have the final say in every matter. And in all that I give you to do, in all your struggles and all your difficulties, rely on and look to me. Brothers and sisters, the final words of Christ prior to his ascension comfort us tremendously as we make the transition from one year into the next. Sometimes we talk about how strong the devil is. But let us never forget that the entire realm of darkness is under Christ's authority. Satan cannot do whatever he pleases. He cannot draw away God's elect. He has already been defeated. So we have no reason to worry, to fret, or to think, if only we get the right people in the right places at the right time in politics, in church life, and in every other area, things will be so much better. No, things are already different. Christ is on the throne, and his rule is characterized by justice and righteousness and mercy and love and peace and kindness. He who is given all authority in heaven and on earth is the loving shepherd of his sheep. He died to save us, and he pleads our cause before the Father every day, bringing our needs to him. And he knows us in our darkest moments. All those who have died in the Lord in 2023 and during the last decade and centuries, they're all known to him. He holds the keys to death and Hades, and he will see to it that the power of death is destroyed. And what we experience today, under his rule and in this dark world, is meant to refine us for God's greater glory. And not only is Christ's word about his total authority comforting to us, it is also a warning. For we need to recognize his authority and let our lives be controlled by him completely. For he will bring to ruin all opposition. Beloved, we must believe what he states and follow what he commands. If we are to teach the nations to observe all that he has commanded, then that must start with us listening to his instruction. At this time of the year, people tend to make New Year's resolutions. And apparently only 10% of those resolutions are kept. Well, in the Christian life, things are to be different. We need to resolve with all our heart that we will submit to Christ's authority each day of 2024. And that resolve begins now. In fact, you already made that resolution when you publicly professed your faith. Jesus is given supreme authority. And no authority trumps the authority of Christ. Based on his all-encompassing and universal authority, Jesus has the right to spell out to you and me what we are called to do. Well, in our passage, Jesus commissions his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. They may not hang around or stay in the area of Jerusalem. No, being under Christ's authority, the apostles are sent out to make disciples. That is, they must introduce the nations to the teachings of the gospel. But you could ask, isn't that asking too much? Isn't that like asking someone to build a bridge from Canada to France? We might think, if we're going to do this today, we will need a well-thought-out strategy. Perhaps we need to switch the focus in our church life and be less doctrinal and more missional as a church community. Well, beloved, let's keep a few things in mind here. First of all, the disciples were ordinary men. But these ordinary men are sent out as apostles by a great God. And the power of their ministry is not in strategy. The apostles are ordinary men with an extraordinary message. These men, as Christ's apostles, have a special calling to go and move out of the comfort zones of their own enclave of family and relatives, to move out of the narrowness of their cultural and racial identity, to move out of the security of their geopolitical boundaries. And why? Well, the reason is obvious. Pentecost is about to happen, and the gospel must go to the nations. And these men may not hold back the progress of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the power and authority of Christ is now in the Word, and they are to preach it and to teach it and to guard it. The task the Lord Jesus gives his apostles would have been nothing short of mind-boggling to them and inconceivable. They, fishermen, are called to go to people that were considered outsiders, Gentiles, and they must do things that were unheard of. A word is used in the Greek for to make disciples, which has the idea of following a course. So Christ says to his apostles, enroll the nations to be my students and pupils. The apostles' task is to get people into the school of the Holy Spirit as pupils of Christ. They must approach people with the gospel, calling them to repentance, warning them of the wrath to come, and speaking of the salvation that is to be found only in Jesus. Question. Does Christ's commission demand that every church member must hit the road, making students for Jesus? No. And we shouldn't let people take this text and guilt us into thinking we are less than obedient and a lesser Christian if we don't. If we don't become a missional church. This commission was a specific task given to the apostles who were given this office by Christ, which included the calling to baptize. Now, having said that, does not take away from the fact that the church must proclaim Christ to the nations. And you, as members of the congregation, wherever you are and in whatever stage in life you are in, even if you are disabled, even if you are going through great difficulties, you must see to it that there are men ordained whose task it is to make disciples, to preach, to teach, to baptize. Well, do you see that as your responsibility and privilege? Is it your passion that people come under the preaching ministry of the church? Yes, we need to support preachers and missionaries who will take up the task of teaching people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to support men who are ordained to the office of missionary in foreign countries, on the frontiers of the kingdom, but right in our own backyard as well. And taking this passage to heart does not mean contemporizing worship so that in our minds it might make it more appealing to the surrounding community to come and join us. But it does mean that you will have a heart for the gospel, so that you will encourage young men to consider the ministry. It does mean that you will not be ashamed to invite your neighbors to come under the teaching ministry of the church. It does mean that you will make the efforts to speak with your children about the Lord Jesus, so that they will sit at the feet of Jesus and eagerly receive his instruction. And the second aspect of the mandate given to the apostles is that they baptize those who come out of this present darkness. Those who believe must be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How radical. This was entirely new for these men who only knew the Old Testament sacrament of circumcision and the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. Now, we cannot go into details as to what this baptism entails, but let it be sufficient to say that being baptized in the name of the triune God means that those who believe have the visible sign and seal that they are placed under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and in communion with the living God. And moreover, those who baptize have the authority of the triune God behind them. Well, that leads to the third aspect of the apostles' mandate. They must teach those who respond to the gospel to observe all that Christ commanded. In other words, it is not sufficient that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We must also understand the implications of that for daily living. And that again begins with us. Believers must leave behind the elementary teachings of the gospel and become mature in Christ. And what Christ has commanded us to do comes down to loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Teaching them to observe is to teach them to watch keenly and protect. And we who have come to know that Jesus is Lord must be careful that we observe everything which has been passed on to us via the apostolic teachings. Those who come to know the Lord Jesus must guard what has been given to them. They must observe all that the Lord has spoken and has preserved in the apostolic word. And as an army general instructs and encourages his troops, so Jesus instructs his disciples to take up the battle. And he gives them a word of encouragement as they set out. Oh yes, Jesus knew beforehand that the task would not be easy for the apostles. They would be attacked and persecuted on account of their message. The apostles will have to fight against their own nature. For then they all desert Christ during the night of his trial. Their present task will not be made any easier. And that is the way it is for all God's children. There are plenty of hardships, and that can bog us down, discourage us, and maybe even hold us back. Well, Jesus warns and he comforts. Don't give up. Be watchful, be diligent in fulfilling what I have commissioned you to do. And take this with you. Behold, I am with you always. These are some of the last recorded words which the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples while he was on earth. And these words remind us of the first words spoken about this Jesus in Matthew. His birth was the fulfillment of prophecy. The prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. At his birth, Emmanuel was his name. At his ascension, Emmanuel is his promise. And every church which actively observes what has been taught may lay claim to that name. As Christ leaves his disciples, he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And of course, you realize this is not, he is not making a blanket statement, as if he will show his grace and mercy regardless of what we do. No, the promise of Christ's presence and his protection is for the church which submits to the authority of the ascended Christ and fights the good fight of faith. In the most difficult situations, in suffering and pain, in trials and tribulation, God's people may be assured of his presence. Jesus Christ gives the promise of his presence. At the end of another year, we look back. We reflect on how Christ has kept the promise, as he has every year since his ascension into heaven. The gospel continues to go forth into the nations. You have been privileged to hear it, to be taught it by what you receive in the preaching and the teaching ministry of the church. Well, may we all continue to have a deep appreciation for what we have, guard it as the greatest treasure, and let us carry on in what we have been taught. Go make disciples, and start by being a disciple yourself. Live in the certainty that Christ will be with us and will strengthen us by his word and spirit throughout each and every moment of 2024, in sorrow and tears, in joy and gladness. Yes, he will not forsake his people to the close of the age. And in that confidence, let us go and move forward into the year of our Lord, 2024, with joy and with thanksgiving. Amen.